I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Reaction Podcast for Yahoo Sports Canada. I'm your host, Swim Loom, speaking to you after the Toronto Raptors wrapped up Summer League with a 108-102 loss to the Philadelphia 76ers. They went 2-3 in the tournament. They dropped games to the Sixers, to the Spurs, and to the Warriors. And then they beat a really, really bad Knicks team that also just happens to be straight up the whole Knicks roster. Minus the 28 power forwards they signed this year, and a Pacers team that gave a pretty good fight, but the Raptors played with a lot of poise. But in terms of the game tonight, I mean, it wasn't that serious. I mean, none of the games are that serious, but it was like a consolation game. Raptors didn't really make the playoffs with their 2-2 record in Summer League, thankfully, actually, because, you know, I don't know if anyone wants to watch that much Summer League action, but, you know, it was just a game where I thought the Raptors even played that badly, to be honest. By their Summer League standards, they played pretty well. Like, they shot 49% from the field, which is a very high mark for what they've done so far throughout. They've been sort of in the 30s in terms of shooting percentage-wise. And they also got to the free throw line 34 times. And, you know, they had a very good chance to win this game. I thought the Sixers mostly got through this game because their guys on their team just kept shooting like crazy. I mean, they shot 14 of 31 from three, which is a pretty normal percentage for NBA standards. But I think at this level, there's just not a lot of great shooters. It's truly amazing that the Sixers had a whole Summer League roster full of guys who shoot better than Ben Simmons. But, you know, the Sixers had a hot, basically, first half. The Raptors sort of tried to close the gap late. They got a couple of good looks to close the gap. Terrence Davis had a couple of looks that could have made it a one possession game under a minute left, but the looks rimmed out and, you know, the game was over. But again, like I said, the results don't really matter that much. It's really just about, you know, who performed well. And, you know, just speaking about tonight's game, so no Jordan Lloyd, no Malcolm Miller. Those two guys started the first four games. They sat out tonight, I guess, for wear and tear. I'm not exactly sure, but okay, so those guys, you know, sat out. Those guys are mostly known commodities anyway. Like, no matter what they're really showing at this level, like, we have a pretty good idea of what they're going to do in a G League setting and even in an NBA setting. So there's not too much to say about those guys. I honestly, it wouldn't surprise me if those guys ended up as quad A kind of type players, because, you know, they do things well, but I'm not exactly sure if they do things so well that they warrant becoming a role player at the NBA level. But, you know, it's really just about opportunity. I mean, they are really, really right on the cusp. So I'm sure some teams should and will take a look at them if it's not the Raptors. In terms of the other guys on the roster, so Terrence Davis got the start. This is his second performance as a Raptor. He got off to a really, really bad start tonight against the Sixers. And it wasn't even necessarily bad in terms of just he was making the wrong decisions. He was just, like, missing a lot of shots. And he was taking good shots. He was getting himself in a good position to get open four shots. And, you know, there's a lot of things that, you know, again, if the shots actually go in, it just looks a lot different. I thought he played a good game. It's just the results weren't there. And it really wasn't until the second half where he really started to get it going. You know, I think what really, really sparked him was just him making backdoor cuts. Like, I think he made, like, at least two, maybe three backdoor cuts where he was trying to flash up top and then cut backdoor and, you know, I don't think in the NBA you can necessarily get three backdoor cuts game from one guy. But, you know, it was nice to see him sort of mix up his skill set, you know, try to affect the game in other ways. And, again, this is what I like about Davis is that, like, he does a bit of everything, right? And, like, today, for example, he was pretty good defensively. Like, I got a steal and got a block, had 8 rebounds, had 7 assists, and he finished the night with a decent shooting percentage. Like, 8 of 17 is not bad, and he got 17 points out of it. So, you know, it's not necessarily a bad performance, but I just like the fact that he contributes on all ends of the floor, you know, all portions of the floor. Like, he plays both ends. He defends well. 6'4", is pretty good size for the point guard position. He's not necessarily too thin, so I could even see him playing a bit of two guard and guarding those guys, you know, at an NBA level. I could see it. He's athletic. He's physical. He competes well. I like that he stays engaged with the rebounding. It definitely seems to be like just something he likes doing. I always like point guards that rebound well. I mean, Kyle Lowry obviously is a prime example of that, but like, I just like guards that, you know, are willing to, you know, crash the glass and do things where, again, it's really just about your compete level. Like, do you want to be engaged? How engaged of a basketball player are you? And I think Davis is very engaged. His playmaking was pretty good. A couple of those assists came from when the Sixers decided to throw like a full court press. And so a couple of those were just very easy lobs. But he also connected with some pretty good pick and roll combos with, you know, Boucher and DeJuan Hernandez as well. So, yeah, I like his game. I like his game. I think the Raptors got a good player there. I think it was a smart signing, a 2-year deal. So it's been announced now that it's a 2-year deal. First year is for the minimum, and second year is non-guaranteed. There's a guaranteed date, I think, sometime next July. But again, it's pretty much the same deal that Fred signed. And again, this is something that has been pointed out a couple of times. But even Davis himself, he talked about how, you know, he saw on Twitter, literally just on Twitter, he saw a video that was floating around the time of the NBA Finals had wrapped up, that, you know, showed Fred VanVleet's draft day party, where this was before he grew the beard, so he was very baby faced and whatever, and Fred giving a speech to his, you know, at the bar in Rockford, where they had held a watch party, and he told people that he was going to bet on himself. And then so he goes from that to, you know, literally getting a Finals MVP vote from Hubie Brown. And, you know, as funny as that was, like, it wasn't unjustified. Fred played amazing, basically in the last two rounds of the playoffs. And, you know, he's an inspirational story. And I think, you know, I think Davis obviously sees the parallels to himself there. And they're pretty different players, even though they play the same position. They're, you know, Davis 6'4 point guard. You know, Fred is undersized. Fred is more of a floor general, a better shooter. Davis can attack the rim a little bit more, sort of contribute elsewhere. But again, that mentality, it's got to be the same. It really has to be the same. And I think, you know, the contracts being similar, I think basically the Raptors at least have a proof of concept with Fred. You know, you come in, you probably play most of the first year in the G League. Later in the year, when, you know, again, teams end up tanking or whatever, the competition level drops, you bring in a fresh body, you get Davis some run, maybe as a backup point guard sometimes when, you know, if Kyle needs a night off or Fred has some sort of, you know, random injury or whatever. And, you know, there's a path, and that's basically how Fred came in, you know. And it's not necessarily pretty. It takes a lot of hard work, but he's in the door. And that's also something that Davis talked about when he talked to reporters, I believe, before yesterday's game against whoever they were playing yesterday. I don't know. It's not important. But, you know, it was also something Davis said, where he said, you know, if I didn't get through the front door, I was going to go through the back door. There's some side doors. You know what I mean? So, I like Davis. I like Davis. And I'm going to overhype the guy, but I see a lot of NBA skills in an NBA size body. So there's something there. Chris Boucher, I thought, was clearly the best player throughout the tournament. He was the best player for the Raptors tonight. 24 points on just 8 shots. He hit 6 of 8 from the field. He hit 2 of 4 from deep. So that means he hit all of his 2-point shots. Got to the free throw line 12 times. See, the thing is with Boucher is, part of me is, I'm like thinking, like, okay, so at this level, he's a bit of a looter in the right, in the sense that if you hustle and you're that big and you're that physical, you're going to get opportunities. And I think that's what the free throws sort of represent. But also, like, sometimes I just got to remember that, like, you know, hustle is not necessarily just something that most players have. Like, it's an actual talent. And Chris Boucher plays really hard. He plays extremely hard. He gets himself in the right positions. He doesn't always necessarily make the right reads, but, you know, especially at this level, he's effective enough. And I don't think he proved anything necessarily here that, you know, he couldn't have done last year, for example, in the G League, where he was named, you know, G League MVP and also Defensive Player of the Year. Like, yeah, of course. Like, it makes sense that Boucher would succeed at this level. But I appreciated the fact that Boucher throughout the tournament sort of made an effort to sort of expand and show the other portions of his game. He definitely had a concerted effort of just bringing the ball up and dribbling more often. I thought he played a lot more power forward, which I think he's probably a center in the NBA level, but if he can play some power forward, it's a plus. I think his His skinny frame is less of an issue at power forward, especially nowadays when most power forwards are basically former threes. And so, you know, I think that development is nice. The fact that he sort of started to mix up his game offensively, you know, not just, you know, crashing the glass and finishing and shooting those ridiculous threes, but, you know, also spotting up off the ball, sort of curls and things like that. Like, again, I like that mentality from Boucher. And I think Boucher, I mean, last year basically already kind of cracked the roster because I thought he was already a better third big than Greg Monroe. And I think he got into a couple games where, you know, I think Nick Nurse shared that same thought because Boucher got more minutes. But, you know, I think, to be honest, Boucher's earned a chance to go into training camp and try to fight for a roster spot. And, you know, he's probably still going to be on the two-way deal, but I could see him getting into more game action. I think he's honestly right on the cusp. I mean, look, he's 26 years old, and he's done everything else that you want him to do at the G League level, at the Summer League level, at whatever other level. And so there are clear positives that Boucher brings to a basketball team and an NBA team. Like, yes, he's mad skinny and stuff, but and it looks like it's not physically possible for him to stick around, but he is a plus shot blocker. He's great length. He can guard multiple positions. You know, he can knock down a shot from time to time, which is pretty important. He has decent touch. Like, he can convert free throws. I mean, you know, he scraps like hell. He plays hard. He's not going to be like a 10-year vet or anything like that, but, like, I think he deserves a shot somewhere. Like, I've seen a lot of NBA bigs with less potential than Chris Boucher. Like, yo, I think Cristiano Felicio, the man who looks like Shrek, has like a 4-year deal making like $8 million a year. Like, I know that's the Bulls and that's guard packs or whatever, but like, you're telling me Chris Boucher couldn't be on the roster when like Omer Sheik's in the NBA, you know, and Felicio's in the NBA. I mean, like, you know, I'm telling you Boucher should be on the Bulls is what I'm saying. But, you know, he deserves a chance and I hope someone gives it to him. And I hope it's the Raptors actually. As for DeJuan Hernandez, you know, I think the tricky part about Hernandez is, like, I don't really know if his sort of lack of polish is a reflection of his skill set or a reflection of him not playing basketball for a long time because he was ruled ineligible last season. You know, I can't pretend. I'm not going to front like I watched a bunch of Miami games in college, but I did go back and look at some of his highlights. Like, it's clear he can do some things at a competitive level, and, you know, he's got a good size, he's got a good frame, he shows flashes for sure, where, you know, especially with the drives from the perimeter, where he can take sort of like one or two dribbles and basically get all the way to the cup. Like, it's impressive stuff. I guess you just don't see a lot of big men that sort of make those types of moves, but also you never really know. Keep in mind that this is a summer league level, so, you know, I'm not sure if all those moves necessarily translate to the NBA, but I mean, again, this is the 59th pick. If you get anything out of it, it's a positive. Even if you get a guy who gives you, like, 30 games as a third-string backup, like, that's a win. You know what I mean? You got to really adjust your expectations. And I think Hernandez coming with the right mindset, you know. I don't think he's shy, which is good. I think he probably needs to work on his footwork a little bit. It's just, he just looks overall like a guy who's rusty. Like, he can do things clearly, but he also makes a lot of mistakes. And so the goal is to sort of pare down the mistakes and really accentuate what he does well. I don't think the outside shot necessarily is there for him just yet, but, you know, that's something that he can develop down the line. And even something like the finishing, like, you know, his finishing was, I mean, I don't know. I think he could probably stand to play with a little bit more intensity sort of throughout. I don't think he's as physical as, I guess, sort of what he could be. And if he were more physical, I think, and more aggressive, I think he would be a little bit more successful. But again, this is the 59th pick. I think he's good size. He's shown a couple of flashes, and that's enough for him to go into the development system and see what the Raptors, you know, see what Jao Mahalalela and other assistant coaches down there, see what they can do. Like, this is a player that has some talent, and, you know, there are obviously no perfect players in the G League, so he's going to be just another guy with a couple things to work on. If everything breaks right, he can make it, but, yeah, I mean, he's all right. He's all right. I don't mind the pick at all, and I really do believe that with a guy like this kind of skill set and this sort of size and this type of mobility, he probably would have been taking a little bit higher if it wasn't for the year off, so there's something there. Rest of the roster, not really sure about. We didn't really get a chance to see too much out of most of the guys, to be honest. They weren't really featured that much. The only other guys that consistently got minutes was like Lindell Wigginton, which tonight he had a great game, 26 points on 8 of 12 shooting, 9 of 11 from the free throw line. Like, I thought, I don't want to knock a guy at all because I think he works hard and I think he has good intentions and stuff like that. But, like, if you really look at the highlights, I mean, like, he got a couple of very generous foul calls and had some somewhat lucky finishes. But also, I don't want to knock the guy. Like, he also had some crazy crossovers that, you know, literally brought guys to their knees and, you know, showed a lot of fearlessness in going to the basket. I think overall, Wigginton plays this type of fearlessness that is going to suit him well because he is undersized. And even though he has pretty good hops, he's not necessarily going to be a guy that, you know, has he's not even like a Dennis Smith Jr. type. And obviously that's a pretty high bar because like Dennis Smith Jr. was a lottery pick and Wigginton was undrafted. But you know what I mean? Like that type of player where if you're going to be undersized, you probably have to be a really good shooter or like next level athletic. And I don't think he's next level athletic. I think he's just very athletic, but he's not like dunk on you consistently type of athletic. And the shooting is clearly something that he needs to work on a little bit. He definitely turned down a lot of shots where you would expect a guard to just confidently rise up with, you know, the chances that he was given. But, I mean, you know, Wigginton's solid. He's solid. I'm not really sure if he's going to be an NBA player, but there are going to be opportunities for him elsewhere. He clearly is skilled, and he plays really hard. He plays with a passion, so that's good. And, you know, we'll see about the rest of the guys, but yeah, that's Summer League. That's Summer League. In terms of your three stars tonight, Boucher gets the first star, 24 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists, 6 of 8 shooting from the field, 2 threes, 10 of 12 from the free throw line in 29 minutes. I would give Davis the second star, 17. Well, that's not true. Actually, I would give Wigginton the second star, 26 points, 2 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 steals, 8 of 12 from the field, 1 of 3 from 3, 9 of 11 from the free throw line. Definitely supplied a lot of offense, especially in half court when it was really difficult. And then, yeah, I mean, in terms of your third star, that's got to go to Terrence Davis. 17 points, 8 rebounds, 7 assists, a steal, block, 8 of 17 from the field. Hit his 3, but mostly was off of the jumper. I thought he responded. Second half is much better than the first half. But, you know, that's Summer League for you. That's Summer League. In terms of your Gerald Henderson Award, that's got to go to PJ Dozier, who I believe was with the Hornets, I think. His name sounds familiar, but yeah, he ended up on the Sixers training or summer league roster, and he's pretty good player. 8 of 14 from the field, 4 of 7 from 3, 7 rebounds, 7 assists, a steal, 22 points in 24 minutes. Looked like the best player on the floor tonight. Very, very decisive with his just everything he did. I thought he was sort of, I don't know. I mean, I thought he was pretty good. And if the Sixers want to bring him in, that probably makes a lot of sense. They probably could use a couple more wings, especially guys who can play shooting guard and stuff like that. So good luck to PJ. But yeah, that does it for basically the reaction pod and 10 things. It's been basically 10 straight months of Raptors basketball, starting from training camp in Vancouver all the way out to, you know, the whole entire regular season and 24 games in the playoffs and, you know, going to the finals and then coming back, having the parade, sort of, you know, the whole free agency bonanza, Kawhi dipping, and then, you know, back to Summer League where it's sort of, I don't know, it's sort of nice to sort of live the NBA cycle in the way it has been. I mean, I've covered the NBA, covered the Raptors for a couple of years now, sort of more of an unofficial sort of a passion type of project, and then obviously, you know, Raps Republic gave me an opportunity and then later Yahoo gave me an opportunity and I'm very grateful for that. But like, I've just like never really fully lived the whole season like that. I mean, the Raptors have also never been to the finals, so it wasn't necessarily possible to live the whole life, but it's sort of like, you know, it's like a whole lifespan, you know, you start with Summer League and it's like, you just have random guys that come in and they're trying to just make the roster. They're trying to make the G League team. And it's like, just, it's like birth. It really is. It's like birth for a lot of these guys. And then, you know, throughout the preseason, you sort of see who has it, who doesn't really have it, who might be breaking out, who might not be. And You take that experience, you sort of carry it over to regular season, where it's honestly just like a single sink or swim kind of thing. It's really just like most of life is like the regular season. Honestly, you're gonna have some days where everything goes right, some days everything goes wrong, and you mostly try to control like the 80% in between that you know, are sort of up for grabs. And then in the important moments, you get to the finals, and you know, you get to the playoffs, and you literally fight like hell, and it takes everything out of you. It makes you draw upon every single experience you've ever had, and then finally, you know, you're back at Summer League, and you're starting anew again. So it's been, honestly, it's been an incredible journey. 10 months nonstop basketball. You know, there will be 2 months off in between. I mean, we'll have coverage of the FIBA World Cup, and we'll have coverage, honestly, of everything. Even, I mean, OVO Balance. I'm not really sure about Crown League this year, but if it's happening, we'll be there. And we'll try to bring as much coverage of everything as it happens here in terms of basketball in Toronto and in Canada. But, you know, y'all deserve a break. I deserve a break. So thanks everyone for listening and reading and watching, and you know, like, it's been a great journey, and I'm very thankful that Yahoo has given me this platform to sort of do this, and obviously before that Raps Are Public as well. But you know, it's been a great journey, it's been a very exhausting time, and now we got 2 months to sort of enjoy our summers, so I hope you guys do that. I definitely will be. As a programming note, we will have, like I mentioned, there will be programming throughout the summer. We might not necessarily Raptors stuff, but you know, there will be a weekly podcast, as there always is, and there will be coverage of the tournaments, stuff like that, so look out for that stuff. We're gonna be working on video projects as well, you know, the Kawhi Watch with me and Alex, and also the people that put it together. I think we got pretty good reception for that, so we might try to continue that as sort of a show throughout the summer, where it's obviously not geared towards Kawhi, but it's sort of just geared towards the Raptors, sort of a short, sort of a produced type of video podcast involving me and Alex. So look out for that. Obviously, I'll announce it on my Twitter, but when it happens. But again, thanks everyone for listening, following. I really do appreciate it. It's been an incredible 10 months as a Raptors fan, and really can't wait to get back at it, you know, in training camp, which is going to be in Quebec City. That's really dope. Quebec City is a very, very pretty city. So I haven't been to Quebec City since grade 8 graduation, where, you know, I won like $200 on a a ferry tour or whatever it was. I don't know. I didn't really do much of that. I just wanted to play poker. But yeah, I'm looking forward to, you know, coming back to Raptors basketball. But in the meantime, thanks again, and we'll be back very soon.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Here's a question for the marketers listening. Want to find that perfect customer beyond the world of scrolling, swiping, and searching? Here's a secret to make sparks fly. Smooth talking with podcast ads. With Acast, you can reach millions of listeners who'll be hanging on your every word. On the train to work, in the gym, or waiting in line for coffee. Start up the conversation with podcast listeners anywhere and everywhere. And they're looking for love. 60% of listeners have a higher trust in brands they've met on podcasts compared to social. Get closer to your audience. Make podcast ads with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.